And may the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I was, Phil and I were talking earlier about reading books. And one of the things I love to read are books about men and women of God who have proven themselves to be fruitful and faithful. There are some amazing things that God's doing through people around the earth. And one of the temptations is that when you read those kind of books, if there's about some spiritual heroes or people that you're impressed with, is that you can be envious of how God's using them. You know, and really long, Lord, I would love for you to use me like that. And, but what I've come to realize over the years is that you really have little control over that in terms of how much stuff God does through you, in terms of how many signs and wonders happen. We can believe God for that. We can have a theology that says we expect that kind of thing. I was thinking about the gospel reading that Bracken had and that I've heard of and been to it. So many church growth seminars. There are practical things you can do, but really those church growth seminars are church growth things can be kind of self-interest stuff. It's like, how do I make my church bigger? And instead of how do I make the kingdom bigger? But kingdom growth principle in that scripture was, that says, and there was a multitude that followed him because so many people had been healed. And so one of the things I tell people, I said, look, if you'll go for that part of the ministry of Christ, it said it only takes one person in your congregation to get healed of cancer or to get out of a wheelchair. And I said, the growth part will take care of itself. But we can get so infatuated with that kind of thing, and that we want to see God use us more, and I do want to see God use me in every way that he used Christ, right? But again, I have little control over that. But there is one thing, when you read about some of those people, that's common. And this is something you absolutely do have control over. And you can be in your situation, wherever you're at, as successful to God as any of the people that are heroes to you. And this is what Paul said. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And so for me, this is like, I was just thinking this morning about this, and the Lord said, this is the simplicity. That's something you can take care of. Paul said, therefore, verse 9 of 2 Corinthians 5, we have as our ambition, in the language here, we have as our singular ambition. And again, the language here, this is my constant singular ambition. Whether at home or absent, whether alive or in heaven, here and there, here's my singular ambition, to be pleasing to him. Think of all the things that God used the Apostle Paul to do. But Paul said, if you want to narrow it down and put it in its most simplistic form, this is the one thing that drives me. This is my number one singular ambition, that I would be pleasing to him. That's something I have control over. And that's something that the greatest heroes in the history of the church, whoever it is in your day that you read about, that you love to read about, you know, in the charismatic world, the Bill Johnsons, the Heidi Bakers, people got doing all kinds of wonderful things, you can duplicate the most important thing about them. This is said again in Romans 14, verse 7 and 8. For not one of us lives for himself, and not one dies for himself. For if we live, we live for the Lord. And if we die, we die for the Lord. Whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. And to this end, to this very end, this is what Christ was after. To this end, Jesus both died and rose from the dead, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Isn't that interesting? Of course, for somebody to be your Lord means you're in absolute total submission, surrender to them. He said, here is the end for which Christ was after, that he would find human beings that would acknowledge him as Lord of their life. And then from man's perspective, Paul said, here's my one ambition, that I would be pleasing to him. That thing you can duplicate, the greatest, what you consider heroes in the world, and that's the one thing you can take care of. How God uses you beyond that is his business. That's really up to him. So, whether whatever kind of job you have or whatever you're doing in your life, or let's say if you're like Olivia, or you're going through what Margaret's going through right now, where your movements are restricted, you can be just as successful to God in that place of restriction as the most famous Christian who's ever lived, simply by your yes to him in that place. Isn't that awesome? Just by your surrender, by your joyful surrender. Again, Jesus was our example, the prophecy about him in Psalm 40, verse 8. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Now understand, saying yes to him out of one side of your mouth while complaining about it on the other side of your mouth doesn't count as pleasing to him. That's just not having a choice, and so you don't like it, but you're going to do it anyway. You might as well go ahead and do the other thing, because it's the same thing to God. What God's looking for is a heart that will say yes to him without offense towards him. And if you do that, then whatever, whoever that person's whose ministry or life you've envied the most, you can absolutely duplicate what's most important about them to God. By making your one, number one ambition in life, above everything else, is to be submitted and surrendered to his will in the smallest and the biggest things. One of my spiritual heroes was Mother Teresa. And Mother Teresa had this encounter with the Lord. It was a visionary encounter on a train when God gave her the vision to minister to the poor. And she made a decision that she honored the rest of her life, that she would never, ever again do anything apart from his will as long as she lived. And as far as she knew, consciously, she kept that the rest of her life. When you read things about Hattie Baker and the signs and wonders and people being raised from the dead and 10,000 churches they've planted in Mozambique, but if you go down to the thing, her heart, since she met Christ, was to passionately be surrendered and obedient to him. That's her great ambition. And everything else flows from that. As a matter of fact, if that's where you're at, it's the thing that lures you into intimacy. It pulls you into his heart because you just want to get to know him more, because you want to know more things about him that would give you the opportunity to please him more. So, my prayer, I said, Lord, I'm 64. I would like to spend the rest of my life as my one ambition, 1 minute at a time, to be pleasing to you. Because that's what you were after. You weren't after a big ministry. You said, to this end, you both died and rose again. Not so I would be famous, or I'd have all kind of gifts. No, the one thing you were after is that you would be the Lord of my life. that you would have a volunteer lover of God who says yes to you all the time. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.